Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo. We have got a fabulous show for you today. One, well, you may not know what you believe in the subject matter or not, but that's not necessary. It's a paradigm of thinking that I think is extremely fascinating. I myself believe in it because I've had a number of experiences. We are going to be talking about soul search, the healing possibilities of past lives. My guest today is Dr. Edward Klein. Dr. Klein, welcome.
Thank you, Donna. I'm pleased to be on your show.
I was really intrigued with this because I've been involved in the work of mine for so many years, and having had so many various experiences on a personal level as well as interacting with a number of, well, literally, tens of thousands of people over the years through media and one-on-one counseling, I'm always intrigued with people's perspectives regarding their own experiences. When I started reading your book, there was someone, and I'll share it with you later on when we're chatting, that came into my mind and I said, my goodness, I knew of someone else that went through the exact same scenario you did. Now, I want people to know that you've been a psychiatrist for over 20 years, and you're a charter faculty member of the University of South Florida's medical school. You've been teaching there. You're in private practice. And you have done a lot of work in stress management and past life therapy. When I was going through the book, I thought to myself, this is really, really fascinating reading because it's about you and a woman that you worked with. But I want to use a quote that you have in the back of your book. It's by Plato. And Plato said, every soul is immortal, for whatever is in perpetual motion is immortal. By making the right use of those things remembered from the former life, by constantly perfecting himself in the perfect mysteries, a man becomes truly perfect, an initiate in the wisdom more divine. Again, that's a quote by Plato.
Mm-hmm.
You started this journey without intending on starting the journey, and I like journeys like that.
Right.
I mean, this is cool. Tell my audience what it was that got you involved with this.
Sure, Donna, I'd love to. And also, just that you mentioned it, that quote from Plato is really a cornerstone of my belief, and I'd love to expand on it later.
Sure.
But going to the last question you asked, you know, when I went to medical school and graduated with the idea of becoming either a surgeon or a family practitioner, and I went and took what we call a mixed medical internship, which was 6 months of medicine, 4 months of surgery, and 2 months of an elective. And as it would happen, I was quite tired from the rotation on surgery. At that time, we were 36 on, 12 off. Mm-hmm. And I was looking for something easy to do, relaxing to do. And I saw this elective in psychiatry, which meant 9 to 5, no weekends, and I grabbed at it. And as I'm sure you believe, and as many of your listeners believe, there's nothing in life as a coincidence. I met a man who was my mentor and taught me psychiatry in a manner that I just wasn't exposed to in med school. And I chose at that point to become a psychiatrist and went on to New York University Medical School, Bellevue Hospital Center, and went into private practice. Now, as you said, my practice at the time was a general practice, nothing to do with this topic of past lives. In fact, more than likely, if somebody would have mentioned it to me, I would have looked at them kind of strange-like and said, no, you know, I was truly in the scientific model.
Mm-hmm.
But several things happened to me. One, I was working with a young woman, I should say in her about 30s, and she was going back into the present life via hypnosis. We were taking it back to try to find out some things that happened in her early lifetime. And on one particular occasion, she looked at me kind of strange and sounded kind of strange, and I worked with a yellow legal pad on my lap, and I gave her the pad and went to give her the pencil because I was going to ask her to write something, and she looked at the pencil kind of strange and took it as if it was sort of like a knife or a stick, and she proceeded, when I asked her, to write the Roman numeral 4 as if she was carving in the sand or something. And I took her out of the trance state afterwards, and she looked at me, and I looked at her, and we weren't quite sure what to make of it. And so I stored it in my mind, and I said, okay, you know, there are things that maybe we just don't understand. And I started to read about past lives and started to attend some seminars. And shortly thereafter, another thing happened to me. Every time I would start the engine to my car, I would hear a huge crash in my head, that sound.
Mm-hmm.
And this went on for about a year, Donna, and it was, unfortunately, at the end of that year's time, I was in an accident. I was not too bad. I was in the hospital for a short period of time, but when I came out and went back to get in a car and start the engine up, that sound was gone. And that, as you know, is called precognition.
Mm-hmm.
So, wow, you know, hey, you know, this is something I couldn't explain by my scientific background. And then shortly thereafter, a third thing happened to me. And this was literally the icing on the cake, or to really push me forward, is my office at the time was in a three-story medical building. It was a huge building. And in the building, there was a real estate office. And coming back from lunch one afternoon, I decided to stop in to clear up some issues or to clarify some issues with the manager there. And I walked into the office, and the secretary looked at me and said, "Dr. Klein, hi, there's a telephone call for you." And she gave me the phone. And I took the phone, and there is nobody on the line. I gave it back to her, and I said, "Wait a second, Donna, nobody knew I was coming into that office. I didn't tell my secretary. I didn't tell anybody else." I quickly checked the number to see if it was similar to my office or similar to my home, and it wasn't. And I said, "Are you sure?" They said, "Dr. Klein, they specifically asked for you." And I said, "Okay, you know, I'm being batted on the head. Something is telling me something." And this is, I didn't have an explanation. And my mind at that point was really open, and I proceeded actively to go into the field or study the field of past lives, and subsequently then started to work in this field. And that was the initiation of it. That was the start of it.
There are so many things in life that we absolutely do not have any understanding of.
Absolutely,
Donna. And when you have an experience like this, it is something that you never, ever can run from or hide from, because it just has happened. It is there. And I recall a truck driver. My husband was the manager for a major truck line a few years back, and this driver was brought over to home because my husband had got to know he and his wife, and he said, "You know, we'd love to have you for dinner." And so this was a very unusual occurrence, but the reason it was done is because my husband knew what I did and obviously was very familiar with the psychic area, et cetera. And this driver, for some reason, had started talking to him, and his name was Ian. And Ian was a very mature man, and hypnosis had always fascinated him. And so in his study, and he had gotten a degree of type in it, and he said, "You know, I'm a very practical person. I don't know it, but I don't know what I'm doing with this, but I'm intrigued. I want to find out more." And he ended up working with a young woman, put her under, and the next thing he knows, she's talking about a time period. It was in the 1800s. And I think it was Chicago. I've got my notes somewhere. I don't remember what it was. But he's saying, "Wait a minute. Who are you?" And she gave him a name. He said, "Where are you?" She said, "I'm in Chicago." And she gave the street address and all this stuff. Well, it stunned him. So he brings her out, and he goes, "This is nuts. She's playing a game with me."
Mm-hmm.
And she had no memory of any of it. It didn't stay with her. She, you know, she came out of it, and, "Hi, how's it going?" Well, fortunately, he had taped it, and he played it back, and she said, "I don't know what's going on here. This isn't me." Well, she was very interested in seeing what else would happen, and that's why when I read your book, I thought, this is such a parallel because it changed his thinking so much. But what he did, he went and did the research and found out everything she had told him was 100% correct.
Beautiful, right. Yes, I've had several experiences similar to that with Carol, where she would recall or relate about specific events, and she did the research on it and found that such experiences or such places existed, actually.
The mind is incredible. And let's talk about Carol for a moment.
Sure.
Who was Carol, and how was it that she, and I know this is in your book, but my audience doesn't know this.
Okay.
So I want them to really get excited so that they want to pick it up, because it's fascinating reading, because the book goes between you and Carol, and all of it is very well documented. Why and how did you and Carol meet, and why was she willing to do this?
Well, that, again, I'll preface that by saying nothing in life is a coincidence. After it sort of segues into what I was saying before, I started to work with past lives and was doing this with individuals. And after a certain period of time, I thought, well, you know, I wish I could get across to a multitude of people. I was doing this one-on-one, and obviously I've read books before and the seminars. I said, well, I should be able to do this. You know, I should be able to write a book. And unfortunately, though, I had never written anything as a book. I'd written scientific papers and things of that nature. So I was thinking about this, and I recalled that there was a woman who was the mother of some children, that the children were my children's friends, and I knew of her. And she was an author who had written about 10 or 12 books. And so I called her just for some information, and I said, you know, Carol, can we get together, or could I ask you some questions about writing and what it would, you know, how you do it, etc.? And she said, sure, why don't I come out to your office? And she came to my office, and we sat down and talked. And she, being a quite open-minded person, and although had never experienced any past lives before, said, you know, why don't we do this from a first-person standpoint? I will be the subject and go through some of the past, go through my past lives, if I can, she qualified that, and then I will write about it. And maybe some of your listeners have heard about George Plimpton. He was a writer who would go into sports, and he would write about that. If he wanted basketball, he'd become a basketball player for a while, et cetera, et cetera. So it was the George Plimpton type of school of the first person. And sure enough, she agreed to do this, and sort of became the rest is history that we did this, and she actively went into a multitude of past lives and would write it, and that's what the book is based on, and her perspective of the experience, and then my perspective, which is of what it was to work with her and the interpretations we made to help her deal with a lot of issues in her lifetime.
And in the book, she relates that very, very well, and I think that having both of your voices in the book is a very good way of being able to bring a clarity to the subject matter, because this is something that, gee whiz, General Patton believed in.
Right.
I mean, we have so many people historically.
Benjamin Franklin.
Said, I've been here before. I've been down this route, or I've done this, that, or the other. And they used it as an empowerment factor. In fact, I remember someone telling me that they had known the Patton family. And it was, they said, it was really fascinating. When they were in Europe, he would be out in certain areas, and he said, I was a Roman soldier, and I was here. And he would describe the battles and other things, and would go and verify what it was that he was perceiving. He had had a number of experiences that were very, very profound. He knew war, and he knew it well. That was something that he just was thoroughly aware of. It's fascinating when you look at it. And
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, that's fine. Go ahead.
Well, you know, you just reminded me of a story, which I've done many seminars and stuff. I hardly ever tell this story because I didn't recall it, but it just triggered this off in my mind. I was working with a young man, actually his mother had called me, and this man had said, always believed that he was a friend of Albert Einstein, friend of, and done some work with him, and the did a past life, and sure enough, he was in some sort of work with him. But Mother tried to document that, and this man was not famous or anything like mm-hmm. this. She went through all the books and all his subject matter. Was just about to give up when she came across an obscure book, and in the introduction he said, "And I want to thank my friend," and then gave the name of this person who this child, young man, thought he was, for his help in assisting me in developing these theories. And sure enough, he was existed in that particular lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't thought of that for a long, long time. But those things, yes, they do happen.
Well, I remember a very, very famous author. In fact, I have a book about her in my library. I mm-hmm. think Jess Stern wrote the book. But it was about her hypnotic regression into past lives. And she was a phenomenal author.
Mm-hmm.
And people that would review her material, anything that had to do with medicine, her clarity was just phenomenal. And she had certain physical problems that she and she poo-pooed psychic stuff and everything else. She just said this is a whole bunch of bunk. Yet she was extremely intuitive herself, and she would talk about how when she would write, there was always another person present that was helping her put the stuff down. But when she went into the regression, her past lives were so strongly related with the stories that she researched and she wrote. And so it was as if there was this well of experience that she was dipping into that was floating over into this life experience, and she was doing it on, if you will, a subconscious level. She mm-hmm. actually entered into that mind reserve pool that she had acquired, and when she came out of it, she said, this explains some things, but then she would go into denial. But they were able to cure her of certain problems because of the associations of certain lifetimes.
Yes.
Bringing them
Yeah, that's great. You know, I think it would be a good point or a good time at this point for me to talk a little about the cornerstone of my beliefs, because I think this will help the listeners to understand it. And this is sort of an amplification of what you just mentioned and how I believe we go to a past life. In other words, to go to a past life, it is my belief we have to access the subconscious, and that's what you had just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
The subconscious, I believe, as do many others, stores all the knowledge, all everything that we ever learned, whether it be in this lifetime or in the past and other lifetimes. All the knowledge is there. And I believe that, and this goes back to the quote of Plato, if you recall it,
mm-hmm.
I believe that the subconscious is part of the soul. That is the constant. So no matter what body that the soul enters, all the material is there, all the knowledge, everything that we ever learned is stored there. So whether it's in this lifetime, as I say, in past lifetimes, we just need to access the subconscious to get it. Again, that's the constant. The variable is what body it goes into. The subconscious, being part of the soul, can enter different bodies. And once by entering or gaining access to the subconscious, that's how we get the information. That's how it works. And as I say, this is a strong belief, I think, of Edgar Cayce, you know, from mm-hmm. those who are familiar with ARE. And that's the method that it works. And then perhaps then I could expand on that by talking a little about the subconscious, because you've mentioned it, and for your listeners to understand that, the subconscious is what we call the alpha state. Now, backing up a little, where you and I are talking right now and your listeners are hearing this, we are in what we call the beta state. To go to the alpha state, we could take the individual through an induction, or many people do it on their own. A lot of people do meditation, transcendental meditation, and really they're going from the beta to the alpha state.
Mm-hmm.
That is an altered state of consciousness. And I stress that because most people will recall what happens during the state, and also they are not in control by anyone else. In other words, if I take somebody into the hypnotic or the alpha state, I don't have control of them. you can come out of the hypnotic state whenever you want. And that's very important for people to feel comfortable with. In fact, I like to give the example for, Don, I don't know, have you ever driven someplace and reached the end of your destination and said, you know, I don't recall, or I don't think of, you know, all the things I went through getting there, yet you obeyed the speed limit and yet you stopped at the red lights, et cetera, et cetera.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
That's a normal trance state. Mm-hmm. So that trance state, again, is something, and that is the subconscious. Just for the sake of completion, when we go to sleep, we go from that beta state to the alpha state, and then we swing over to the theta and delta state, the theta being light sleep and the delta being deep sleep. When we awaken, we just reverse the process. We go from the delta to the theta, back to the alpha, and back then up to the beta. Again, the theta and delta is unconscious, or if I may, deep sleep, light sleep, but when you get into the alpha, it's the altered state of consciousness. Also, interestingly enough, I'm going to add a sort of another variation of this, that we know for sure this is the alpha state is where we dream. That is called the REM state, rapid eye movement state. I believe that many, not all dreams, are past life experiences. It does happen in this alpha state. Mm-hmm. And if you recall what we're going back to, it's the alpha state, the subconscious, that stores all the material. How many times, because it's like you triggered this, as I said a little while ago about this boy with Einstein, I hadn't thought about that in years, but it was stored there. Mm-hmm. Something triggered it off of me.
That's right.
And everything that we have learned is stored into that subconscious. We just have to get a way to do it. And again, not to be redundant, but if you're in another lifetime by getting the subconscious, which is part of the soul, et cetera, that's how we're getting the material from these other lifetimes.
Dr. Klein, I know someone listening would probably ask the question,
sure,
what value is this? Because when you look at past lives and you look at them and, oh, it's nice, gee whiz, I had a red checkered dress, or I was hauling pigs around in a wagon in the middle of the Ukraine, you know, at such and such a time. That's all well and good. However, there is a value to it, and it's
not just
the fascinating part of it, but why is it valuable to do this, and how did Carol benefit from this?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that, because you know, not only is it a good question, but it's a very important question, because all my work, I can just clarify something at the top, is that I don't see individual people at this time in doing this or in therapy. At this point, just giving seminars and lectures throughout the country. We're developing a tour right now, and so I'm not working on an individual basis. But when I did, I did not see anybody just for the sake of taking them into a past life. There is a true therapeutic value. The medical efficacy of this is very, very important. And we get better by what I consider three different methods, three different ways. And I'll amplify on that. The first way is when we go into a past life, we go to the significant times of that lifetime. What is a significant period in that lifetime? And oftentimes, by understanding the problems that arose in that lifetime, it helps us to deal with the problems in this lifetime. Number two, we go through the death experience in the past life. And oftentimes, too, how one dies has a direct effect on maybe some of the fears or phobias in this lifetime. And I'll expand on that. There's a classical example with Carol on that. And number three, excuse me a second. Sorry. And number three, when we go after our death, we go then to, the soul is released from the physical body that has been in at that time and goes into what we call the in-between state. And in that state, oftentimes there are the angels or guides. We then discuss maybe the lessons that needed to be learned in that lifetime and how they are applicable to this lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
With this understanding, there is much, much improvement in many, many of the problems. Thus, let me just give that classical example with Carol and a fear. Carol had a fear of heights, and this was a lifelong fear. In one of her past lives, she was in some village, and she was a teenager, and she was with other teenagers, and this village was being raided by some men on horseback. They came into, it was like a hut that she and the others were in, and they singled her out and pushed her outside, and sort of like with spear, they were kind of laughing, and this is ha-ha fun type of thing, and they pushed her forward, you know, with the spears, and they pushed her towards a cliff, and she went over the cliff, and that's how she died. Afterwards, Carol lost her fear of heights.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, it sounds very dramatic, which it is, and people like to say, oh, yeah, sure, sure, sure. But she did. She lost, and she had a lifelong fear of being up high, fear of being on planes, et cetera. Now, I had occasion to meet with her husband about a month or so afterwards, and we were at a party together, and he is an unbeliever in all this work. Just even though Carol was doing it, he was a staunch non-believer. And so I asked him, and of course he knew his wife all along, and they had been married for some 30-plus years at the time, and, you know, she couldn't have been making it up. And I said, well, how's Carol doing? She said, you know, she's going up all these places where she's never been before. We were building a home. She went up in the scaffolding. So there was this change that he saw visibly in front of him. And I asked him, I said, what do you think of this now? Because she was filling him in on a time. And he looked at me and didn't quite want to say, well, boy, this is, no, I really could believe it. But he just looked at me, wasn't sure what to say. And he said, finally, you know, if it works, it works.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine, Donna. I never tried to push people to it and say you have to believe in reincarnation. But I hope, as I'm doing with my seminars right now, opening people's minds to the possibilities that such things as we're talking about exist and there's a probability. And if people will explore this, then they will benefit from it.
And something I think I'd like to add as a compliment to that is we live in the now, but like anything, the more we can become educated about ourselves or understand certain perspectives, we can be liberated, just like Taylor Caldwell was and like Carol getting through certain things. This may sound rather trite, but I've known individuals who definitely were able to make some shifts. But you don't get so caught up in it that you lose sight that this is where you are right now, and this is what you are dealing with right now. But this is a form of empowerment if you use it as the right kind of tool. Dr. Klein, I know...
Well said. I love it.
Oh,
great.
Well, thank you so much. I really have enjoyed this discussion, and throughout your book, Soul Search, The Healing Possibilities of Past Lives, a lot of things that Carol brings out, and I really like the clarity and the integrity of how she expresses herself. She said her belief systems changed. She realized that there was a lot more to life than what she had even imagined. It opened up your world in mm-hmm. a phenomenal way, totally transformed your life. And you learned that she had had interactions of conversations with people that had expressed their own personal stories about past lives, and she just sort of went, right, poof, you know, that's enough mm-hmm. of that stuff. But this turned her all around because you made sure she was consciously aware of it, unlike Ian with the young lady, the truck driver I was telling you about, the mm-hmm. young lady he was working with. She didn't remember when she came back because he programmed her that way. Mm-hmm. And he was curious, but eventually he told her, and then she'd listen to what she actually said because it was all taped. This is a fascinating phenomena, and I'm so grateful that you've been with us today. What is your website so people can go?
www.improvewhoyouare.com, and it's all spelled out. The U is Y-O-U, improve, I-M-P-R-O-V-E, whoyouare.com. And on the website, there'll be a, if they click on my work with past lives, there's some dual work I do, and go to the contact section. There will be, for those who might be interested in developing seminars starting them, there's a man there, Bruce Barron, and who I'm working with, and he will help whoever it is developing or a seminar in the area that you're at. And also, if anybody's interested in the book, because we just had a new printing become available to us, the good and the bad, the good that they were sold out. The bad is there was nothing there, but we just did have some new books come available, and you just email me, and we'll send out the information to you about, for those of you who would like to get the book.
Wonderful. So go to his website, improvewhoyouare.com. The book, again, is Soul Search, The Healing, Possibilities of Past Lives. Dr. Edward Klein has been my guest. Thank you again, Dr. Klein. It's been a pleasure having you. We're taking a break. This is Donna Sebo. Don't go away. Lots of good things to share with you today. It's Friday. We'll be right back.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, TTAP.com.
Hello, this is Donna Sebo, and if you'd like to give me a call, I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. The telephone number to call in to is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. I really find anything that has to do with the mind extremely interesting because there are so many variables with it. And when it comes to dealing with something like past life information, the stories that I've heard from people over the years have just been truly amazing. And so it's an area of interest, whether you believe in it, whether you do or don't, it's not a big deal to me. But I do think the more that we open our minds to the possibilities of variables and we think about it, the more we are able to perhaps lower our only and absolutely almost disintegrate eventually our personal glass ceilings we always put up for ourselves. I know it's made a big difference in my life. I wanted to share with you something that was sent to me by Jan. She has some wonderful tips regarding stress. Who has stress? Who doesn't have stress? My goodness. Now, Jan is an author that's going to be coming up next week, and she's going to be a guest of mine, but I thought I would just share these little tips because they are really very, very good ones. And you're coming into a weekend, and this should be a time if you have a chance to unwind and relax. It's a great thing to do. Stress buster number 1, stop using money to keep score. stress. Number two, stop letting the media define who you are or standards of beauty, expectation, whatever. You're your own person. Define yourself. And stress buster three, stop letting any particular belief system rob you of your self-worth. And stress buster four, stop seeking accomplishment in busyness. And stress buster five, stop seeking rewards outside yourself. Of course, she's going to be on with me on Monday, but I thought I would just share those items with you. Isn't it easy to get so stuck in the attitudes and opinions of people, and we think, wow, gee whiz, this is what I should be doing. Instead of stepping back, and it's okay to listen and to learn, but to come to know yourself is really a job. It really, really is. And when we come into this world as babies, we don't have any judgments or any prejudices, we don't have any attitudes, but we're dependent on where we're born. If we're born in Saudi Arabia, we get one set of different situations. If we're born in the U.S., we get another. South America, another. Africa, another. And as individuals, to go through the process of growing up and into ourselves, it is really a lot of work. And usually part of that process is we try to please everybody that's around us. Or we follow the rules of the environments that we're in. Otherwise, we're in the deep six. Then we go through rebellious periods. And then we think, well, we've got to do this, that, or the other, and we find that it's not satisfying. So the journey of discovering self is a very, very interesting one. And when you finally get comfortable in your own skin, and you don't have to be 105 to do it, but when you finally get comfortable in your own skin, you realize you don't have to impress anybody. You don't have to do anything, really, to march to somebody else's drummer. I love the old saying, march to your own drummer, because all of us have a particular beat within ourselves. Sure, there are times in life we have to do things we may not want to do, but it's all part of discovering our strengths and our weaknesses. And when you start focusing on your strengths, there's an amazing process that occurs. As you're focusing on your strengths and you're refining them, let's say you're an artist, or maybe you're a fabulous mechanic, or maybe you're someone that's great with animals, and you're trying to find your particular niche. And so you try and you experience different things, and you realize that maybe you'd be great in search and rescue with dogs. And so you go and you just have this knack, and animals respond to you, and you have this empathy with the dogs that you train, and wow, there's just this magic. And people say, I don't know how you do it, but you just have the magic touch. Well, that's your strength. Well, maybe you've not been very good at organizing things, but in the process of developing your strength of being that wonderful search and rescue master, you do have to become organized. So there is a magic when you focus on the strengths that you have as an individual. It pulls you up and pulls you into a space where those areas that are weaker become stronger. It's an amazing phenomena. Instead of doing the opposite, of focusing on what you absolutely are horrible at, and you focus on the strengths, you may find, let's say you're the lousiest cook in the world. Well, maybe you end up doing something that you love so much that if you get an idea or figure out some way of efficiently being able to work with food, eat healthy, and you discover a certain place or a certain patterning of doing things, and your whole life becomes so organized and so easy, you go, wow, I wish I'd figured this out in the beginning and stopped battling myself all these years. That's the key. Focus on your strengths, not your weaknesses. So anyway, we're going to be talking with Jan Denise on Monday, but I wanted to share some of her thoughts with you. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756 if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Now, something I would like to also mention, if you have a story about the paranormal, reincarnation, astral projection, clairvoyance, clairaudience, seeing a ghost, I'd love to have you send me your story. I'll need your contact information. I'm putting material together for a book. I'm wanting to gather 100 stories. If you have a friend that's had phenomenal experiences, have them write them out for me. But I would love to have you send it to me. I'm putting the file together. I've already started it, and we have about 20 stories right now. So if you would like to be included, please send in your story. You can send it in via email or snail mail, however you want to do it. Email is donna@delphiinternational.com. Snail mail is Donna, the Donna Sebo Show, at P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. I think it's going to take me about a year to get all the details as I need to have them, and once we have that together, then the publisher will be receiving material and we'll take it from there. But if, again, if you know of anyone that has had an experience and would like to share it with me, send it off. I would just love to hear from you, and I do need your contact information. Also, I wanted to let you know that there is going to be a program that I'm going to be featured on, and I will give you further details as I have them. I'm doing an interview on the 27th, and it will be aired on Sunday, January the 31st, and I'll find out about the exact time as to when it would be aired, etc., and I will be letting you know about that after I do the interview on the 27th. I'll have those details all put together for you. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. The nature of wisdom. Well, brain researchers are always trying to figure out how does that 3.5 pounds of stuff that's up in our skull do what it does. Well, we have really always been intrigued with the brain. The mind and the brain are separate entities, but it has some phenomenal talents. We've got our first caller for the day. When we come back, I'll tell you about the latest brain research. Caller, welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
This is Lyle from Indianapolis.
Hi, Lyle. How is it in Indianapolis?
Well, it's cloudy and cool, well, in the 30s, upper 30s, and it's supposed to be, get colder as the week goes on.
Woo, you can keep it.
How are you doing, Miss Sebo?
I'm doing wonderfully, but you can keep those temperatures, thank you very much. We have been a balmy 40-degree level, and it has just been wonderful, but our temps here in the Pacific Northwest are not always predictable. Sometimes we end up dipping all of a sudden, and we really want to put on our long johns. So we may be getting a little bit of a cold switch here, but that's okay. I love this area of the country, and I'm sure you love where you are, too. Indianapolis is quite a place.
Yes, it is.
All right, Lyle, let's get down to business with you. The first thing I am observing is your writing. Apparently, you are wanting to put a book together, and you're thinking to yourself, if I make my notes as I go along with whatever you're involved with, then I'm going to have some material to work with, and I agree. I also want to encourage you to attend a writing class. There is a person that I think is going to be doing a public reading at a bookstore. And you're going to be so impressed with the way that this person expresses themselves in the written format that you're going to say, this is a person I'd really like to have as a mentor. And I would agree. I think that this is great. But just don't use them. Look at the styles of different people and see what resonates with you. And I really think you've got a big turnaround in a professional area that you hadn't considered would be evolving very quickly, but it is. So don't be surprised if there is going to be what I would describe as a promotion coming up. Lyle, we're coming to a break. Would you be willing to stay on the line with me, and then we'll take your question?
Yes, I will.
All right, Lyle. We'll be coming back with Lyle in Indianapolis, and when we do, phone lines again open, 888-815-9756. We're taking a break. We'll be back.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. We're going back with Lyle in Indianapolis. What's your question for me, Lyle?
Well, I wanted to make a comment at first. You did pick up on the book. That is right. I even had somebody at work tell me something that I'm going through right now, that I should write a book about it.
Oh, good.
And so you picked up on that, right? My question is, I've been having some, I'll say, psychic experiences,
mm-hmm.
And I was wanting to delve into that a little bit more also, but I'm having trouble finding what I would think would be a good class to take. Do you feel that my search will come to an end soon, or will it take a little time?
Well, why don't you tell me, if you don't mind, about one of your experiences, and maybe I can be more effective for you and with this. What kind of experiences are you having?
Well, one of them was, well, I've been under a little, let's say, stress lately.
Mm-hmm.
Decided, again, somebody suggested I do meditation, and I had done meditation. And so when I did the meditation and I went to sleep afterwards, I saw what I thought was my future, and it was kind of strange because I listened to this internet personality, and the personality was showing me that, basically telling me that there was going to be some money coming in.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the experiences that I had.
All right, now let me make sure that I'm understanding you correctly. This was a dream experience that you had.
After a meditation.
After a meditation. Well, I would say that this is accurate information. Now, one of the things I would like to encourage you to remember, and that is when you have these altered state experiences, which is what a dream state is, you are going to need to keep in mind that you don't add anything to the experience, you don't take anything away from it. That's why writing it down is very important, including all details. Did you smell something? Did you feel something? What did you hear? What was your response to it? And I'm sure that after you got that information, you said, oh, whoopee, that's a good thing. I really like the money. This is important. The reason is you must learn the language of your mind. And a class you probably will be able to find through a local college, a junior college or a university that's nearby, someone that's teaching classes on dream interpretation. And this would be a good area for you to get into. I want you to remember an important point, though, and I'm repeating myself for a reason. One person's interpretation may not be yours. And this is something that when I've interacted with people and I've been working with, I'm very, very skilled at dream interpretation. So this is something that every person is very unique, and their mind language, your higher self, your God self, whatever term you want to use, your intuitive self, is that that is speaking to you through the mechanism of your language where it can reach you. And that is how I feel you need to approach it. If you approach it in that way, and this is my bias, you can find yourself feeling very comfortable with all kinds of written material that you'll read, and somebody will say something, but, gee, that doesn't feel right to me. Well, it may not be right for you. But if you read, and that's what my mentor told me so many years ago, read. Go to your library. Go to the bookstores. Go to secondhand bookstores, and if you have a particular area of interest, you'll find metaphysical areas, you'll find areas on psychology, self-help. You will be drawn to the right material. Sometimes it falls at your feet. So just be aware, this is not bad. What was your other experience?
Well, it was... Well, I was talking to someone, they weren't really telling me the full story, but my mind was picking it up and just kind of opening up and telling me, you know, like a series of events that happened that they weren't telling me, but my mind was picking it up.
Now, let me ask you a question. What kind of an environment were you in the dream? Was it a restaurant? Were you in your living room? Were you in an automobile talking with this person? What are the details in the background?
Oh, no. This wasn't a dream. This was an actual conversation with somebody. The
Good.
First one, it was in a dream, and the person was just talking to me. I wasn't really anywhere, as I can explain it. It was just we were in a place, but I could just see his figure, and he was telling me and trying to reassure me my sense was he was trying to reassure me that everything was going to be all right, but he was telling me that money was going to come.
All right, but that's the dream. This other experience. Okay, so we've already gone over that. This second experience, you were consciously present, and you were aware of what this person was saying, and at the same time, you were getting information that was not complementary to what they were expressing and what you were doing without being consciously aware of it is that you were getting a reading on that individual. And that is something that, believe it or not, we all do.
Right.
I have developed it differently, but it is something we all do. We assess people, good, bad, or indifferent, we do that. And that's part of what I call the discriminating capacity of the human being. But yours had a clarity, and so you were able to go into that multiple level of mind, which again we all have. And so here you are having this conversation, and then your mind is linking with this person's mind, and you're becoming aware this person is lying. This person isn't telling me the truth. This is really what's going on. So when you're having an experience like that, you need to be aware that that can be a very useful tool and that this is something that enables you to know if someone is telling the truth or they're not telling the truth. I think these experiences are wonderful.
And that's what I was wanting to develop or had an interest in developing. Now, I've been told by other sensitives that I also possess healing abilities.
Mm-hmm. Lyle, I'm sorry I'm going to have to do this, but I am out of time.
Okay.
I am out of time. But feel free to call back, and I'm happy to discuss this with you on the air because I think that there are some listeners that maybe you're having the same kind of experiences, and this is good. But okay. I'm going to have to stop right now. Thank you so much, Lyle. You have a wonderful evening in Indianapolis. This is Donna Sebo. My goodness, we ran out of time. It goes by so fast, doesn't it? Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. This is Donna Sebo. Have an absolutely awesome weekend, and we'll be back with you with Jan Denise on Monday and find out about your innate good. This is Donna. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.